हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 8, Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. Verses 38-103, Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. 38-50. Thus, Ramachandra Puri stayed at Jagannath Puri. As is customary for those in the renounced order, he would sometimes stay someplace and then go away. There was no certainty of where Ramachandra Puri would take his meal, for he would do so even uninvited. Nevertheless, he was very particular about keeping account of how others were taking their meals. To invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cost 320 cowries, small conch shells. This would provide... this one they got, right? So these are small. Conch shells. This would provide lunch for three people, including Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes Kashishwar and Govinda. Every day the Lord would take his meal at a different place, and if someone was prepared to pay for a meal, the price was fixed at only 4 panas. Ramachandra Puri concerned himself with gathering all sorts of information about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was situated, including his regulator principles, his lunch, his sleep, and his movements. Because Ramachandra Puri was interested only in finding faults, he could not understand the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His only concern was finding faults, but he could not find any. At last he found a fault. How can a person in the renounced order eat so many sweetmeats, he said. One eats sweets, controlling the senses is very difficult. In this way, Ramachandra Puri blasphemed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before everyone, but nevertheless he would regularly come to see the Lord every day. When they met, the Lord would offer him respectful obeisances, considering him a godbrother of a spiritual master. Ramachandra Puri's business, however, was to search for faults in the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Ramachandra Puri was criticizing him before everyone. But whenever Ramachandra Puri came to see him, the Lord offered him respects with great attention. One day, Ramachandra Puri came in the morning to the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing many ants, he said something to criticize the Lord. Last night there was sugar candy here, he said. Therefore ants are wandering about. Alas, this renounced sannyasi is attached to such sense gratification. After speaking in this way, he got up and left. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard rumors about Ramachandra Puri's blasphemy. Now he directly heard his fanciful accusations. Srila Prabhupada. Ramachandra Puri could find no faults in the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he is situated in a transcendental position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ants are generally found everywhere, but when Ramachandra Puri saw ants crawling in the abode of the Lord, he took it for granted that they must have been there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been eating sweetmeats. He thus discovered imaginary faults in the Lord and then left. 3851-79. Ants generally crawl about here, there, and everywhere. But Ramachandra Puri, imagining faults, criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by alleging that there had been sweetmeats in his room. After hearing this criticism, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doubtful and apprehensive. Therefore, he called Govinda and instructed him as follows. From today on, it will be the rule that I shall accept only 1/4 of a pot of Lord Jagannath's prasadam and 5 kundas worth of vegetables. If you bring any more than this, you will not see me here anymore. Govinda relayed this message to all the devotees. When they heard it, they felt as if their heads had been struck by thunderbolts. All the devotees condemned Ramachandra Puri, saying, "This sinful man has come here and taken our lives." That day, a Brahmana extended an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Govinda accepted only 5 khandas worth of vegetables and 1/4 of a pot of rice, the Brahmin, in great despair, struck his head with his hand and cried, "Alas, alas!" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate only 1/2 of the rice and vegetables, and whatever remained was taken by Govinda. Thus both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Govinda ate only 1/2 the food they needed. Because of this, all the other devotees gave up eating. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Govinda and Kashiraj, you may both take alms elsewhere to fill your bellies." In this way, some days passed in great unhappiness. Hearing of all this, Ramachandra Puri went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances to Ramachandra Puri, worshipping his feet. Then Ramachandra Puri smiled and spoke to the Lord. Ramachandra Puri advised, "It is not the business of a sannyasi to gratify his senses. He should fill his belly some way or another. I have heard that you have cut your eating in 1/2. Indeed, I see that you are skinny." Such dry renunciation is also not the religion of sannyasa. A sannyasi eats as much as necessary to maintain his body, but he does not enjoy satisfying his senses materially. Thus, a sannyasi becomes perfect in his spiritual advancement and knowledge. Lord Krishna said, "My dear Arjuna, one cannot perform mystic yoga if he eats more than necessary or needlessly fasts, sleeps and dreams too much, or does not sleep enough. One should eat and enjoy his senses as much as necessary. One should endeavor properly to execute his duties, and one should regulate his sleep and wakefulness. Thus one can become free from material pains by executing mystic yoga." Footnote 12. This is a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita 6:16-17. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then humbly submitted, "I am just like an ignorant boy, and I am like your disciple. It is my great fortune that you are instructing me." Hearing this, Ramachandra Puri got up and left. He also heard from various sources that all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were eating 1/2 as much as usual. The next day, Paramananda Puri and other devotees approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great humility and submission. Paramananda Puri said, "My godbrother Ramachandra Puri is by nature a bad critic. If you give up eating because of his words, what will be the profit? It is the nature of Ramachandra Puri that first he lets one eat as much as desires, and if one does not At first he lets one eat as much as desired, and if one does not eat more than necessary, with great attention he makes him eat more. In this way he induces one to eat more than necessary. Then he directly criticizes him, saying, 'You eat so much, how much money do you have in your treasury?' Also, by inducing sannyasis to eat so much, you spoil their religious principles. Therefore I can understand that you have no advancement. It is Ramachandra Puri's business to inquire always about how others are eating and conducting their daily affairs. The 2 kinds of activities rejected in the revealed scriptures constitute his daily affairs. One should see that because of the meeting of material nature and the living entity, the universe is acting uniformly. Thus, one should neither praise nor criticize the characteristics or activities of others." This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28.1, was spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. Of the 2 rules, Ramachandra Puri obeys the first by abandoning praise, but although he knows that the second is more prominent, he neglects it by criticizing others. Srila Prabhupada. The above-mentioned verse from Srimad Bhagavatam gives 2 injunctions. The first, called Purvavidhi, is that one should not praise, and the second, Paravidhi, is that one should not criticize. As will be apparent from the following verse, the injunction against praise is less important than the injunction against blasphemy. One should carefully observe the Paravidhi, although one may neglect the Purvavidhi. Thus, the actual injunction is that one may praise, but should not criticize. This is called shle shokti, or a statement having 2 meanings. Ramachandra Puri, however, acted in just the opposite way, for he neglected the Paraviti, but strictly observed the Puruviti. Since he avoided following the principle of not criticizing, Ramachandra Puri broke both the rules. 3.80 through 103. Paramananda Puri continued, between the former rule and the latter rule, the latter is more important. Footnote 14. This is a verse from the Nyaya literatures. Even where there are hundreds of good qualities, a critic does not consider them. Rather, he attempts by some trick to point out a fault in those attributes. One should not, therefore, follow the principles of Ramachandra Puri. Nevertheless, I have to say something against him because he is making our hearts unhappy. Why have you given up proper eating due to the criticism of Ramachandra Puri? Please accept invitations as before. This is the request of us all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, why are all of you angry at Ramachandra Puri? He is expounding the natural principles of sannyas life. Why are you accusing him? For a sannyasi to indulge in satisfying the tongue is a great offense. The duty of a sannyasi is to eat only as much as needed to keep body and soul together. When they all requested very fervently that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take a full meal, he still would not do so. Instead, he responded to the request by accepting half as much as usual. The cost for the food needed to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fixed at 2 panas of kodis, 160 conchas. So 80 panas is a concha. It means 1 pan is 80 conchas. And that food would be taken by 2 men, and sometimes 3. When a Brahmin at whose home an invitation could not be accepted invited the Lord, he would pay 2 panas of conch shells to purchase the prasadam. When a Brahmin at whose home an invitation could be accepted invited him, the Brahmana would purchase part of the prasad and cook the rest at home. Even on a day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited to dine by others, if Gadadhar Padat, Bhagavanacharya, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no independence. He would accept their invitations as they desired. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually descended to give happiness to the devotees. Thus he behaved in whatever way fit the time and circumstances. Because of his full independence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes behaved like a common man and sometimes manifested his godly opulence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes accepted Ramachandra Puri as his master and considered himself a servant. And sometimes the Lord, not caring for him, would see him as being just like a straw. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behaved exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beyond the restriction of anyone's intelligence. He did whatever he liked, but all his activities were very beautiful. Thus Ramachandra Puri stayed for some days at Neelachal, Jagannath Puri. Then he left to visit various holy places of pilgrimage. The devotees considered Ramachandra Puri to be like a great burden on their heads. When he left Jagannath Puri, everyone felt extremely happy, as if a great stone burden had suddenly fallen from the heads to the ground. After his departure, everything was happy once again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted invitations as usual and led congregational chanting and dancing. Everyone else also accepted prasadam without hindrances. If one spiritual master rejects him, one becomes so fallen that he, like Ramachandra Puri, commits offenses even to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not consider the offenses of Ramachandra Puri, for the Lord considered him a spiritual master. However, his character instructed everyone about the result of offending the spiritual master. The character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is full of nectar. Hearing about it is pleasing to the ear and mind. I write about the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. O readers, please hear with attention, for thus you will easily receive ecstatic love from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. A person without devotional service who simply wants to know things gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. 26 purport. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism, text 27. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense. For a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. 21. Purport. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, a person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Sandarbha 1.1.1, wherein it is said, even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one. In his Lagu Toshani commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, Jiva Goswami says, even if one is... So there's a difference between Lagu Toshani and Krama Samhita?
Krama Samhita, Maharaj?
Isn't that his commentary, Krama Samhita?
Krama Sandarbha, Maharaj.
Yeah, Krama Sandarbha.
That is different. That is on like the whole Bhagavatam. Lagu Vaishnava Toshani, I think, is in 10th canto.
Okay. So one of them is the whole, one is the 10th canto. Okay.
Krama Sandarbha is not exactly a commentary on the Bhagavatam, but it's reordering the Sandarbhas in such a way that whichever fit to whichever verse of Bhagavatam, they are ordered like that.
Oh, okay.
One is from Jiva and the other is from Sanatana.
No?
Like no, they're both. Sanatana Goswami is would be this.
Sachana Toshani.
Yeah, would be a different one. Because he wrote something that's just on 10th canto, but he's saying the one on the whole Bhagavatam is then reordering the Sandarbha points so they match the flow of the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Okay.
But then. If one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, even if one is liberated in this life. A similar quotation from one of the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandradaya. Even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires, but those who fully engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to a spiritual master of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. 26. Purport. When spiritual master rejects him, one becomes so fallen that he, like Ramachandra Puri, commits offenses even to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 99. A person without devotional service who simply wants to know things gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. Because, you know, it just is that same line is that the Lord is only known through bhakti. Only he reveals himself. Since he's beyond the intelligence, then you can't know him through speculation. So people who want to just know, then the difficulty you see is that they learn so many things, but then they can also, their material desires increase. Because unless it's being done to please Krishna, then it'll only satisfy that material need to know. Yeah. Chapter 9. The Deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka.
I want to ask a question about the nature of the offensive attitude. If you look at the anatomy of an offender, there are different motives why someone either becomes naturally a fault fighter, mm-hmm. and there are people who are born fault fighter, you know, it doesn't matter what situation they're in. And then there are others who are pushed to develop such mentality either because of frustration or because they're put in a situation which is unfavorable or goes against their nature,
mm-hmm.
or someone does something that pushes them to point finger.
Mm-hmm.
So Ramachandra Puri, he was by nature a fault fighter. Now, I was thinking of other example, because it seems that nothing happened to him, and that's because Lord Chaitanya did not take his offense seriously. Now, when Haridas Thakur, when the Zamindar wanted to degrade Haridas Thakur, he lost everything, right? When the Brahmana later on challenged Haridas Thakur, he got leprosy. In those cases, they're all offenders. So, we get reactions to different ways of criticizing. And I'm just wondering, you know, like the first offense is not to offend the Vaishnavas. How do we understand what actually is an offense? And can someone who becomes offensive can be forgiven because it was not really his intention originally?
That's there. I mean, forgiven means on all levels it can be forgiven. But the element is that offending the Vaishnavas is the problem. The Lord, he doesn't, because, you know, everyone in the material world is basically here because they're offensive to him. So if he took everything seriously, then, you know, we'd end up with, you know, no, there'd be no survivors. So that aspect is there. And but at the same time, as you see, is that, as is pointed out there, his knowledge just ended up as dry speculation. Mm. He, you know, became an impersonalist, and he can only find fault in others. So he's living a hellish existence, even though it doesn't appear that anything around him is going badly, but the experience that he'll be going through will be hellish. Mm. You know, that's the, you know, the Mahaprasadi Govinday.
Yes.
So he, yeah. So in all these different cases, whether it's meant or it's not, then there's always going to be some problem with that, because it's not pleasing to the Lord. Because it, we see, is the Lord in these situations, and he'll look at the, you know, that, you know, Krishna's arrangement, or, you know, some aspect of the seniority and stuff like that. So technically, unless you're in a position to correct that situation, you know, you have that ability or that position, then it's not actually that important for you, like that. So one has to be careful there. You know, if you're training and stuff like that, that there's something that's wrong, that point will be made. But it doesn't have to be brought to the point of who it's about. It's about, it's the, there's a principle there that's avoided. Mm-hmm. You know, like Prabhupada said, you criticize the action, not the person. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. But there's a mentality that is, that one has to avoid, that, that, that what's wrong is the problem. No, it's because it's not right, it's the problem. Because you have always remember Krishna, never forget. If you put the emphasis on never forget, it won't work as well as always remember. Right? Because never forget, but I'm forgetting, so how am I, but if I say always remember, then you're thinking I'll be, and one will be inspired to remember. But if need be, you can point out the problem of forgetting. You know, so it's in support of always remembering. So, yeah.
I mean, it's an excellent point, because we tend to point the finger at the particular individual, but not at the situation.
Yeah,
that's a huge problem.
Yes, because it's not the because. Whatever it is, if these combinations are there, that's going to, what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what your, where your ingredients are sourced from. It's that if you combine them in a particular way, you're going to get a certain reaction. So that's why then the scriptures recommend that certain things are done and certain things are not. Because if you, you perform the actions that are not recommended, they won't get a recommended result.
Right.
So it's not about the individual, it's about what's being done. So the problem is what's being done, it's not the individual. Because we can say, oh, it's the individual, but the point is, this one's in the material world. The conditioning means you're going to be doing something wrong. That's why we're here. You know, we're given that freedom. And so The difference is when one takes up that, as it's mentioned, you know, full devotional service. So that then corrects everything. So even if somebody is doing something that's inappropriate, if they adjust to being fully absorbed in Krishna, then everything's corrected. There is no prayaschitta. So along with the fault finding, generally means there's a prayaschitta. Right? So we see with Ramachandra Puri that it was not about being an authority, it was just finding fault. Otherwise, then, when he would get results from his fault finding, then he would start to instruct how to do that better. But whatever you do, he would find fault in it. So he would do one thing, he would say the opposite is that. When you do the opposite, he would point this way. You know, he says, you know, you engage the senses as much as necessary. And the other thing, no, you don't enjoy it all. It's like this. So as soon as it's just wherever he could find a fault. So that's just fault finding. That's kutinati. So it's considered the worst of all of them. Because other ones, they come up because, you know, how you say, offenses are due to ability to, you know, let's say, laziness. So you can do something, but you don't. You know, it's something due to cleanliness, or these things. There are five different categories. All offenses fall within these five categories. So those things, then, it's just a matter of good association being inspired that can be corrected. You know, the attachment to the senses, that just comes by the proper association and engagement in Krishna's service. And by the mercy of the Lord, that will be removed. Because technically we can't remove that, because desire can't be removed. It's a matter of redirecting it. Mm-hmm. But if we want that to happen, then Krishna will make it happen. Mm-hmm. But kutinati, that's then, you know, a choice if you're going to find fault or not. Now, what I could say is maybe that person deserves to be criticized. But the point is even if that's so from his previous action, the point is it's not that the person who takes part in it does not get a reaction for criticizing. You understand? Like that. The material nature and all that, that doesn't get a reaction. But individuals, they can take part. They don't have to take part. They don't have to be the one finding fault. They didn't do it. Then, if that person is supposed to get it, someone else would find the fault. The modes of nature will, you know, inspire somebody.
There's also the fact that if someone, as you say, is worth being criticized, and there's also positive criticism, it should only be the business of people along the same level.
Same level, and who can do something.
Yeah, and not just, you know, leave it to the vast community and give them a chance to just lash out all the time.
Not unless you, you know, are very attached to a, you know, kind of like, say, a medieval modus operandi. Then, of course, you can always do those things. But you know, the contemporary society always considers themselves more elevated than that, than a bunch of villagers with pitchforks and torches. But technically, it's the same effect.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it is.
I mean, it's just, in other words, they're thinking it's something new or being progressive. Yeah. It's the cancel culture. No, before they used to do that back then, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the point, is the modes of nature, it's the same thing. You just slightly adjust it. But it's still the same thing.
It's barking.
Yeah, like that. So it's considered, and hearing about it, even though it doesn't concern you in that, it's prajalpa.
Yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur points that out. So talking about devotees, you can say, it's devotees and all that, but if it's in that context of finding the fault and this and that, it doesn't do well for your devotional service. Therefore, that's why then it's a matter of properly associating with devotees, and that's what you look for. Now, if you find someone, you know, by the direction of Kapila Muni, doesn't have qualities that you should be close with, then, you know, that's, and the reason for that is because it won't be advantageous for you to advance with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. So you don't have to focus on that this person's not the person to associate with closely, but just find those who, you know, in other words, if you're busy with those who it's worth associating with, you're not with the ones who it's not. That's all. But if you focus on, well, this one's not, and that one's not, and there's nobody in the whole three worlds because I'm so fabulous, then, yeah, you won't find. So when you find that you can't find anything, there, you know, there is no spiritual master, there is no good association, there's no one doing anything good, then you know it's the effect that it mentions. It just becomes material speculation. Because the point is there's always... You know, and if you're supposed to, you will come there. You know, you hear stories of devotees. They're living in a city where there's a temple, active temple. They never meet devotees, never see them, never hear about them. There's nothing. They're in the same city, and they've been there for some time. Then they decide to take a trip. And they go to some other continent or some other country or something. There they bump into the devotees. And then they take it seriously. And then they... So the point is whenever the mentality is there, then you'll bump into them. If the mentality is still not, you could go around the whole world and never see devotees. You know? Because there always are. The point is Krishna's in the heart. And if you're sincere, he'll put you in contact. So it's a matter of, it's not looking at the positive from that sentimental kind of, just be nice, be good kind of thing. It's a matter of no, because that's the only thing of value. The critical element is just to be able to tell the difference on what's useful and what's not. But you don't have to dwell on it. That's the whole point. But what's useful, that you dwell on.
Actually, the symptom of a mature devotee is that they don't even get involved. They don't want to hear about those things.
Yeah.
Criticize the Gaudiya, criticize this one, criticize...
Yeah, I mean, what's the point? What does it have to do with you? Is that person in the Gaudiya Math and all? Because they're sitting in some place on the planet where's the Gaudiya Math? You know, it's like here we're surrounded by, between our gate and Hulagar, there are 11 Gaudiya Maths. Like that. But, how much do we ever think about them or deal or this or that? It's just we're doing what we're doing, they're doing what they're doing, and everybody's happy. You know? So most of the criticism you hear is coming from halfway around the world. That's in places where is the mat? What are you talking about? So it's just, there's no need. Same in Vrindavan, you go out on your walk on your parikram, like how many sampradayic people or places, people or ashrams are you walking by? But it doesn't matter. You're just out there parikram and you're taking advantage of being in Vrindavan and chanting and like that. And so in that way you'll advance. And these others will go on and whatever is between them and Krishna. It's not like it's said we can say, oh, but why are they here? Because we see, we probably make the point about the Goswamis. Krishna doesn't kick them out of Vrindavan. They're living in Vrindavan, so they're there for some reason. But they just might, take future, situations might be, more furry or more aquatic. That's all, So,
yes. You've clarified a lot of points that I'm trying to work out.
Yeah. So it's a matter of, it's not that we don't have discrimination, but it's just a matter of that discrimination is according to Krishna's discrimination. Right? In other words, Krishna has no discrimination because everything's him, but at the same time, he reciprocates with everyone according to their surrender.
Sometimes a person can be critical just because it's mental sense gratification.
Of course.
It's not about the issue, it's not about the person. It's just, I really enjoy this,
Yeah, but that kind of thing is, they'll have no taste in devotional service.
That's right.
And so at some point, they're either going to have to adjust that so that they can move forward and just give up that kind of thing.
No taste for chanting.
Yeah, or they'll have to go someplace where they think there is some taste, which there isn't. But by the modes of nature, that's the meaning of the covering. Covering means you think that it's good. The crows are very excited when some new garbage is thrown on the pile. You know, and so, but that because they're covered, and so they think like that. You know, so, you know, something will have to happen. Maya will take care, but Krishna is always working in such a way to make it so that we can come in contact with the bona fide devotees and move forward. Then we don't have to. So, there is that aspect: is that you have to know what is correct and what's not, but we're dwelling on what is the, you know, positive things to do, what could be done, you know, that kind of aspect. But it's not that we can't point out the negative, but that's not where we dwell. You know, so there's a difference there. It's mentioned, like you see Prabhupada mention it and then move on to the point. You know, like the Western society is, you know, has its problems, but the most of the discussion is not on the problems of Western society. It's on what you should do, why you wouldn't, what is the actual spiritual alternative.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Hmm. Chapter 9, the deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka. Pratigya. If one engages in devotional service for Krishna's satisfaction, this will result in his increasingly awakening his dormant love for him. But if one engages in his devotional service for material purposes, he should be considered a number one fool. Adhyaya Prakashika. The ninth chamber is summarized as follows. Gopinath Patanayaka, the son of Bhavana Narai, was engaged in the service of the government, but he misappropriated some funds from the treasury. Therefore, the Bharajana, the eldest son of King Prataparudra, ordered that he be punished by death. Thus, Gopinath Patanayaka was raised on the Chunga to be killed, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was delivered. Moreover, he was even promoted to a higher post. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses 1 to 12. The Lord receives visitors from all over the three worlds. 13 to 58, Gopinath Patanayaka receives a death sentence. 59 to 79, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wishes to escape all material affairs. 80 to 104, Kashi Mishra informs King Prataparudra of the situation. 105 to 153, Gopinath Patanayaka is pardoned and promoted. Verses 1 to 12, the Lord receives visitors from all over the three worlds. 39, 1 through 12, The innumerable glorious followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought a constant flood to the desert-like hearts of the unfortunate with an inundation of ecstatic love. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation. All glories to Lord Nityananda, whose heart is always compassionate. All glories to Advaita Acharya, who is very merciful. All glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are always overwhelmed by transcendental bliss. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived at Neelachala, Jagannath Puri, with his personal devotees, always merged in ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always felt waves of separation from Krishna, externally and internally. His mind and body were agitated by various spiritual transformations. During the day, he chanted, danced, and saw Lord Jagannath in the temple. At night, he tasted transcendental bliss in the company of Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. People from the three worlds used to come visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who saw him received the transcendental treasure of love for Krishna. The inhabitants of the seven higher planetary systems, including the demigods, the Gandharvas and the Kinaras, and the inhabitants of the seven lower planetary systems, Patala Loka, including the demons and serpentine living entities, all visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dress of human beings. Dressed in different ways, people from the seven islands and nine khandas visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the seven islands means Abhu Mandala, and the nine khandas means Jambudweep. Of the one dweep that we're on, it has nine khandas. So we're on Bharata Khanda, the southernmost part. Visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, no, actually here, seven islands, that means Jambudvipa count as an island. Then within that, there is the Bharata Khanda. And then within that, there's Bharata Varsha. Or there's that Bharata Varsha in the nine khandas. And we're on the Bharata Varsha. It has nine, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, seven. Seven varshas, and this, at least I don't know if they all have, but this varsha, Bharat Varsha, has nine khandas. So we're on that. The part we see is that much. Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Vyasadev, Sukadev Goswami, and other great sages came to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon seeing him, they became unconscious in ecstatic love for Krishna. Being unable to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the populace outside his room would make a tumultuous sound. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go outside and tell them, chant Hare Krishna. All kinds of people would come to see the Lord, and upon seeing him, they would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his days and nights. Verses 13-58. Gopinath Patanayaka receives a death sentence. 3.9.13. One day, people suddenly came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and informed him, Gopinatha Patanayaka, the son of Bhavananda Rai, has been condemned to death by the Bharajana, the eldest son of the king, and has been raised on the Changa. Srila Prabhupada, the Changa was a device for killing a condemned person. It consisted of a raised platform on which the condemned was made to stand. Underneath the platform, there were stationary upright swords. The condemned man would be pushed down onto the swords, and in this way he would die. For some reason, Gopinath Patanayaka had been condemned to death and had therefore been raised upon the Changa. Briti, although it is not explicitly clear, the Bharajana, oldest son of the king, does not seem to be the same son as the one who visited Lord Chaitanya and became a devotee in Madhya, chapter 12. Mm-hmm. That prince was merely referred to as Rajaraputra, son of the king.
So you had more than one son.
Yeah, because otherwise if there's Bharajana, there has to be at least a Choto, and there might be a Mejo or a Tejo, depending on how many there are. They have names for it. You know, the biggest, Bhara means the biggest. Okay. And then after that it comes down.
But the son of Prataparudra went to Sri Chaitanya, so you were pure devotee.
Yeah, but at the same time as if you're managing and you're managing with the king, then whatever goes on is these are the natural affairs of how the kingdom is run.
Even if you're a pure devotee, you still have to do your service.
Yeah, you still have to do your service. You know, but you know, there's something here to be seen. There's something going on. There's some pastime to unfold here. You know. The Bharajana has placed swords beneath the platform, they said, and will throw Gopinath upon them. O Lord, only if you protect him will he be saved. Bhavananda Rai and his entire family are your servants. Therefore, it is quite fitting for you to save the son of Bhavananda Rai. No, excuse me, it's not Bhavananda, Bhavananda. Bhavananda. Not Bhavananda, Bhavananda. Because we always say Maharaj's name is as Bhavananda. But it's actually Bhavananda.
He tells the story of Prabhupada getting initiation. Bhavananda.
Yeah. And so he thought, means, you know, the Bhavas and that. He says, no, it means Bhava. It means the material world, the Ananda of the material world.
Yes.
Okay, that fits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, why is the king chastising him? Thereupon, the people described the entire incident. They said, Gopinath Patanayaka, the brother of Ramananda Rai, has always been a treasure for the government. He served in the place known as Mala Jatya Dandapata, soliciting and collecting money there and depositing in the government treasury. Once, when he deposited the collection, however, a balance of 200,000 kahanas of conch shells was due from him. wonder how big is a kahana of conch shells. But it's not a huge amount of money, because it's measured in conch shells, not in coins. Like with Raghunath Das's father and uncle, that was just in coins. But this is in kahanas of conch shells. So that means the kordis, then, you know, there's so many kordis to a paisa, and then like this, it goes up. There was 80 to that one, the pana. And then so many panas must make a kahana.
So they pick them up on the beach, or where are they?
Yeah, it's one of the ways to get them. You can let sit out there.
You know, these people working on the beach.
Before they go and pick up the shells, now they sit out there with those metal detectors.
Metal detectors.
So same thing. So it's the same thing. The people are out on the beach collecting money. Yeah. Therefore, the king demanded this sum. Gopinath Patanayaka replied, "There is no money I can immediately give you in cash. Please give me time. Gradually I shall purchase and sell my gross goods and in this way fill your treasury. There are 10 to 12 good horses. Take them immediately for a proper price." After saying this, he brought all the horses to the door of the king. One of the princes knew how to estimate the price of horses very well. So one of the princes, so that means there's many of them. Thus the king sent for him to come with his ministers and friends. The prince, however, purposely gave a reduced estimate for the value of the horses. When Gopinath Patanayaka heard the price quoted, he was very angry. That prince had a personal idiosyncrasy of turning his neck and facing the sky, looking here and there, again and again. Gopinath Patanayaka criticized the prince. He was unafraid of the prince because the king was very kind towards him. Gopinath Patanayaka said, "My horses never turn their necks or look upward. Therefore, the price for them should not be reduced."
This is Thorson.
Yeah. But I mean, he didn't say it directly about him, but he said that they don't do that. So they have some value, right? Hearing this criticism, the prince became very angry. Going before the king, he made some false allegations against Gopinath Patanayaka. "This Gopinath Patanayaka," he said, "is unwilling to pay the money due. Instead, he is squandering it under some pretext. If you issue an order, I can put him on the chunga and thus realize the money." The king replied, "You adopt whatever means you think best. Any device by which you can somehow or other realize the money is all right." Yeah, so there's a good chance this is the bigger one. It would be another one of the princes. Is any of the other prince was young, wasn't he? Because this is the Boro, this is the old elder. Thus the prince went back, raised Gopinath Patanayaka onto the platform of the chunga, and spread swords below, upon which to throw him. After hearing this explanation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied with affection and anger, "Gopinath does not want to pay the king the money that is due." The Lord said, "How then is the king at fault in punishing him? Gopinath Patanayaka is in charge of collecting money on behalf of the government, but he misappropriates it. Not fearing the king, he squanders it to see dancing girls. If one is intelligent, let him perform service to the government, and after paying the government, he can spend whatever money is left." At that time, another person came there in great haste, bringing the news that Vaninath Rai and his entire family had been arrested. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The king must personally realize the money that is due. I am but a sannyasi, a member of the renounced order. What can I do?" Then all the devotees headed by Swoop Damodar Goswami fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submitted the following plea. "All the members of Ramananda Rai's family are your eternal servants. Now they are in danger. It is not befitting for you to be indifferent to them in this way." After hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in an angry mood. You want to order me to go to the king," he said. "Your opinion is that I should go to the king's palace and spread my cloth to beg money from him. Of course, a sannyasi or brahmana may beg for up to 5 khandas, but why should he be granted the inappropriate sum of 200,000 kahanas of conch shells. Then another person came with the news that Gopinath had already been set up to be thrown upon the points of the swords. Hearing this news, all the devotees again appealed to the Lord, but the Lord replied, "I am a beggar. It is impossible for me to do anything about this. Therefore, if you want to save him, you should all pray together at the lotus feet of Jagannath." Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He possesses all potencies. Therefore, he is unable to act freely. Therefore, he is able to act freely and can do and undo whatever he likes. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied in this way, an officer named Hari Chandana Patara went to the king and spoke with him. After all, he said, "Gopinath Patanayaka is your faithful servant. To condemn a servant to death is not good behavior. His only fault is that he owes some money to the government. If he is killed, however, what profit will there be? The government will be the loser, for it will not get the money. It would be better to take the horses for a proper price and let him gradually repay the balance. Why are you killing him unnecessarily?" The king answered in surprise, "I did not know about all this. Why should his life be taken? I only want the money from him. Go there and adjust everything. I want only the payment, not his life." Harichandana then returned and informed the prince of the king's desire, and immediately Gopinath Patanayaka was taken down from the chanka. Then he was told that the king demanded the money due to him and asked what means he would adopt to pay it. "Kindly take my horses," he replied, "for a proper price. I shall gradually pay the balance as I can. Without consideration, however, you are going to take my life. What can I say?" Then the government took all the horses for a proper price. A time was set for payment of the balance, and Gopinath Patanayaka was released. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired for the messenger. Is there somebody at the door? Oh, that's the paper. Okay. What was Vaninatha doing when he was arrested and brought here? There, the messenger replied, he was fearlessly, incessantly chanting the Maha Mantra, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." He counted the chants on the fingers of both hands, and after he had finished chanting 1,000 times, he would make a mark on his body. Hearing this news, the Lord was very pleased. Who can understand the mercy of the Lord upon his devotees? Verses 59-79. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wishes to escape all material affairs. 59-65. At that time, Kashi Mishra came to the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord talked with him with some agitation. "I cannot stay here any longer," the Lord said. "I shall go to Alalana. There are too many disturbances here, and I cannot get any rest. All the family members of Bhavananda Rai are engaged in government service, but they spend the government's revenue in various ways. What is the fault on the part of the king? He wants the government's money. However, when they are punished for failing to pay the government its due, they come to me to release them." When the king put Gopinath Patanayaka on the chunga, messengers came 4 times to inform me about the incident. As a beggar sannyasi, a mendicant, I wish to live alone in a solitary place. But these people come to tell me about their unhappiness and disturb me. Jagannath has saved him once from death today, but if tomorrow he again does not pay what he owes the treasury, who will give him protection? Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly protect a devotee who does something sinfully accidentally, as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30-31. Abhichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvach chantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktav pranashyati. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. However, if a devotee, a so-called devotee, purposely commits sinful activities continually in the hope that Krishna will give him protection, Krishna will not protect him. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kali ke rakibe jarina dibe rajadhana. Jagannath has saved Gopinath Patanayaka from being killed by the king today, but if he commits the same offense again, who will give him protection? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus warns all such foolish devotees that Jagannath will not protect them if they continue to commit offenses. 3966-68. Right, so in other words, the devotee has to be trying to not be doing these things, and he's doing his best. Things don't go right because of habit or bad association, that's one thing. But if he thinks that that doesn't matter, Lord save me, it'll do it again, then that's where the Lord will. 3966-68. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, if I hear about the activities of materialistic persons, my mind becomes agitated. There's no need for me to stay here and be disturbed in that way. Kashimishra caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet and said, why should you be agitated by these affairs? You are a renounced sannyasi. What connections do you have? One who worships you for some material purpose is blind to all knowledge. Becoming a devotee of the Lord to serve material purposes is a great mistake. Many people become show bottle devotees for material profits. Indeed, materialistic persons sometimes take to professional devotional service and keep Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a means of livelihood. None of this, however, is approved. In the book known as Sapta Sati, as mentioned by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one can discover how a person worshipping the goddess Durga begs her for different varieties of material profit. Such activities are very popular among people in general, but they are the attempts of foolish blind people, say Jnana Anta. A materialist does not actually know why one should become a devotee. Devotee's only concern is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotional service is defined by Srila Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anakulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. One should be completely free from all material desires and should serve Krishna simply to please him. When people become interested in their own sense gratification, bhukti mukti siddhi kami, some of them desire to enjoy the material world to the fullest extent. Some of them desire to be liberated and merge into the existence of Brahman. And others want to perform magic through mystic power and thus become incarnations of God. These are all against the principles of devotional service. One must be free from all material desires. The desire of the impersonalist to merge in the existence of Brahman is also material because such an impersonalist wants to gratify his senses by merging into the existence of Krishna, instead of serving his lotus feet. Even as such a person merges into the Brahman effulgence, he falls down again into material existence, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Aruhya kritsharena parama no param padam tata patantyado nadrita yusmad angrayaha. Because Mayavadi philosophers have no information regarding the transcendental service of the Lord, even after attaining liberation from material activities and merging the Brahman effulgence, they must come down again to this material world. Because there's no understanding of transcendental service, so there's nothing to move forward to. You're going to go the direction that the mind is taking you. So they come to Brahman, they think they are Brahman, but they have no information of transcendental activity. So, as a jiva, they can't go without any activity for very long. So once the anxiety, the effect of the anxiety of the material world wears off, you know, which is quite quick, then one comes back. But that quite quick, one happens to be immersed in Brahman. So how long one will be there. Let's say you're outside, it's super, super hot. You go inside where there's a nice AC, nice place to sit, you know, something like that. You'll sit there for a short amount of time. But once you're not hot anymore, then you want to do something. So, you know, they may be working on that time frame that's there in with Mahavishnu and that, but with that Brahman. But the point is it'll be like that 10 minutes. That may be quite a few lifetimes of Brahma and that. So it seems like it's an eternal time. But for the actually effect of the soul, it's a very short time. And so they'll be back because they have to do something.
So this is a very interesting point. I always wondered about this. But it doesn't seem to be a strict rule that if you merge into Brahman, because that's your desire, you have to wait until you enter the body Mahavishnu and then be created again through Brahma to satisfy your desires. Or you can go from Brahma Jyoti and take birth into the material world.
It means every 3/4 of a second, Mahavishnu is breathing out. And breathing out, then all the living entities that come out at first, they're all in that position of Shuddha Sattva. Or Vishuddha Sattva, that they're all in that position where they don't have any material contamination, but they, you know, the coverings as such, but they still don't have any attraction towards Krishna.
Right.
And so then, as soon as then they, the that Mahavishnu enter the universes and then all the thing and then Brahma, then they'll all be put in their positions according to their previous desires.
Right.
And if they have no previous desire, you know, you're just coming for the first time, you're just going as Brahma.
Right.
But once you've been come as Brahma, after that, you do have leftover residual things. You just go back to whatever it was.
Right.
So we're not talking about long time here.
Right.
So it's because it's, you see them there when it's mentioning the living entities that are absorbed in, and you know, there's that bright light, and Gopakumar sees them all sitting there in these, you know, in that white effulgence, and they're white and everything's white, but they're all sitting there meditating and like that, like they're, so they're all sitting in some kind of, you know, I guess yoga pose, thinking I am Brahman, but he can see them.
Right.
It's not that they've merged as such, because in any case, you're still going to have the Karana Sharir. You know, so it's a covering on the spiritual form. So they're still going to have their arms, legs, this, that, blah. They think they have, they're just merged. But as soon as material desire comes up, then Lord Shiva was also in that realm, you know, in his place, you know, doing Harinam and worshipping Shankarshana with all the devotees. As soon as he's in charge of those living entities, as soon as they have any desire comes up again, he puts them back into the material world. So Shiva then specifically puts them back where they belong. Like
Prabhupada says, open hospital, giving charity.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Or even here, you see these guys, they become the big, big swamis, and at some point they start doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's already going on now.
Right.
So those ones that are there, those are, you know, Brahmanandis. You know, they're the, like that, who, they're not Mayavadis. Mayavadis will never get, there's no question of a Mayavadi getting liberation emerging in Brahman. It's not happening. Because they think it's all Maya. So therefore, everything that's, because the effulgence is coming from the personal form of the Lord, they say that's Maya. So if that's Maya, the effulgence is Maya. And if they're part of that effulgence originally, then they, you know, that come, you know, that they're covered. Where does the, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. So they're not going to get anywhere. So they'll always fall down to these things. But you know, someone like the Kumaras or Sukadeva Goswami, that kind of thing, where means everything's Brahman, they have no problem. They're not Maya bodies because the material nature is also Brahman. Krishna is Brahman. He's the supreme Brahman. They have no problem. Four Kumaras, as Brahma bodies, were going to visit to Lord Vishnu because he's the supreme Brahman.
Right.
You know, And then when they smelled the tulsi at his lotus feet, then they surrendered and became devotees. Because they could understand, is we have no interest in the senses, but this is very interesting. Mm. So that means we're transcendental. This must be transcendental. And this is better, the smell of the tulsi leaves of the Lord, that effect, you know, on the was greater than being, you know, merged in Brahman consciousness. So then they surrendered as devotees. You know, they'll be Shantapaktas. But the point is that they surrender. That way, so it's but Mayavadis are just dry rancids, that's all. So they're all going to go to that direction. If not this life, next life. No, some life. They're not going to. No, even if they don't get out, there's that one aspect is, I'm not sure if there's one aspect of it or two aspects of it, but there's some aspect of, you were talking about some Mahakalapura that's within the last layer of Pradhan, you know, where they worship Mohini, like that. So then you know, they're there, like that. Does that make sense? So there is some aspect there. So maybe all these kind of runs, and they can go there, but they're still within the material universe. You know, just outside of where we're doing what we do. Like that. So you have, it seems you have various degrees of, you know, like those who are Shaivites, they'll be in this side. But if they worship Shiva as the devotee, and they're devotees of Shiva as a follower, then they can be in his place. But they're all devotees of Vishnu. Just he's the guru, that's all. You know, so that's a different, so you have these different levels of.
It's interesting how in the beginning of 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches, he says, you know, because Arjuna asked about the impersonal and the personal path, he said, the impersonal path is very troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just yeah. One word,
yeah.
It's troublesome, there's no good.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah, it's interesting. I think also, in Mahabharata, he was offered technical knowledge, and Krishna also said the same thing. You know, it's too much trouble, don't get involved.
Yeah. And the difficulty seems to be if we look closely at whom they actually worship, the Mayavadis. They don't worship Shiva as a person, not as a devotee, but they worship impersonal Shiva.
Mm.
So they might go to you know, Mahakalapura, but even that it's probably not.
I would say no. I wouldn't say, because how do they merge into, because the Brahman means is Vishnu.
Yeah.
So, or it may be that that's on this side, because you see it's once he got out of the universe, and he was in the, you know, the effulgence of Mahavishnu, then he was seeing those people who were sitting around in meditation, that they were absorbed. So it seems to be that there's two locations of those individuals. Some can go to that side. It's still this side of the Viraja, but it's outside the universe, and the other ones are just on the outer layer of the universe. So it seems to be that there's some kind of technical difference. But for us, the main thing is that that doesn't matter as much as only if you worship Vishnu can you get beyond the material condition. Because otherwise, there's so many things are, you know, simultaneously one and different, like emerging Brahman, but then it mentioned this morning that that's the Brahman of Mahavishnu. You know, it means the effulgence of his effulgence is what is being seen here. You know, though at the same time as it is Krishna's effulgence, but you know that is we're appreciating as coming from Mahavishnu. So it seems that there's that aspect. So it's that those who merge in Brahman aren't allowed to run around the place. You know.
So technically speaking, the space between universes, is that Brahman?
Yeah, or they're situated in the Viraja.
Right. The space within the universe is not Brahman, or is it?
Everything's Brahman.
Everything is Brahman.
But if you're talking the Brahman Jyoti,
right,
that will be what's outside. So this means all the universes are situated in the Viraja, you know, but at the same time as there'll be the, you know, around it'll be also the effulgence of Mahavishnu. You see, he's there, and then all the universes are there. So you're going to have that aspect, these aspects. So that fine detail is means if it's there and it's valuable to know, it would be, you know, it would come up, it would see. But otherwise, it's not so important. It's more important to, you know that, you know, Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna because she doesn't want him, you know, wants him to grow up to be a nice boy and not to be a badmash. So she's chasing him with a stick and he's running in fear. You know, that's that kind of thing is. So the details will be given, but finer details, that'll be more in what's happening in Goloka and Braj, you know, or within this universe. So in other words, detail is given that you can use to get out. Like Shankya is showing how it comes down. The reverse of that, it'll take you out. But the whole thing's based on false ego.
Yes.
So in other words, you get rid of false ego, then you get rid of the material, you know, entanglement. So technically, how that all working, what does it matter? If that's what it does, then it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like if you go to this person, you have somebody you know, and by your dealings, and they say, meet this person, and he'll take care of your work. Do you need to know what's the name of his secretary and how long the paper will sit on the secretary's desk or whether he keeps it on the right side or the left side or he keeps it in the drawer? Does he leave it open? Does he fold it in half? You know, does he put it in a folder? What kind of folder? You know, is it, you know, is it the binder folder? Is it one of those slip-in zippy folders? Or, you know, does it matter? And then who he gives it to and where it goes? All you know is that this is a recommendation. You do this, it works out. So the details may be there as much as is useful for elevating ourselves, but too much is it's not that it'll improve the quality, because you're dealing with these things of non-difference between the Lord and his energies and how it works and how he's glancing, and you know that's Sadashiva and you know all these different things. And so those things, to be able to see the difference and non-difference, then that will make it clear that when you those things will be clear, you're not so interested in the gyan aspect. So as it comes in Shastra, then you appreciate it. But it's not that that makes it or breaks it on your commitment to Krishna consciousness, you know. You know, no, unless we know this, how can we move it? No, these are just, we make these up. It's speculation. So, Kasimisha continued, if one engages in devotional service for your satisfaction, this will result in his increasingly awakening his dormant love for you. But if one engages in your devotional service for material purposes, he should be considered a number one fool. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that there are many materialistic persons who become preachers, gurus, religionists, or philosophers only for the sake of maintaining a high standard of living and sense gratification for themselves and their families. Sometimes they adopt the dress of a sannyasi or preacher. They train some of their family members as lawyers and continually seek help from a higher court to acquire riches on the plea of maintaining temples. Although such persons may call themselves preachers, live in Vrindavan or Navadvip, and also print many religious books, it is all for the same purpose, namely to earn a living to maintain their wives and children. They may also professionally recite the Bhagavatam or other literatures, worship the deity in the temple, and initiate disciples. Making a show of devotional paraphernalia, they may also collect money from the public and use it to cure the disease of some family member or near relative. Sometimes they become Babaji's or collect money on the plea of worshipping the poor, whom they call Daridra Narayana, or for social and political upliftment. Thus they spread a network of business schemes to collect money for sense gratification by cheating people in general, who have no knowledge of pure devotional service. Such cheaters cannot understand that by offering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be elevated to a position of eternal servitor to the Lord, which is even greater than the position of Brahma and other demigods. Unfortunately, fools have no understanding of the perpetual pleasure of devotional service. Here you do something and it drops off, then there's got to be the next thing. So therefore, that point comes up of variety. You know, considering, you know, if I'm doing these, you know, will I be happy in the spiritual world in a particular situation? Because, you know, what about my variety? What about my options? But they don't know about the perpetual pleasure. So it just keeps growing. So it means if something's giving you happiness, would you do something else? You know, no, you're happy with that. But here you do something else because it doesn't make you happy. If it was making you happy, you continue. Like somebody gets into some sport or some hobby or some activity, they do that as long as it's giving them happiness. Mm. And then when there's some problems, then they'll think, well, if I do it, maybe I just make some adjustments, then it will give me happiness again. And like this, they'll go, but at some point they see, this doesn't give me happiness. They'll just choose a new sport or a new hobby. Or they'll take something, if they were into sports, now they'll just be lazy, you know. You know, something like that. They'll do something to try to find a new situation. So that's based on, that's how material happiness works. So we shouldn't base the spiritual understanding on the same. It's perpetual. It's the natural position. 3970-79. Kashyamisha continued. It is only for your sake that Ramananda Rai resigned from the governorship of South India and Sanatana Goswami gave up his post as minister. It is for your sake that Raghunath Das gave up all his family relations. His father sent money and men here to serve him. However, because he has received the mercy of your lotus feet, he does not even accept his father's money. Instead, he eats by begging alms from centers for the distribution of food. Gopinath Patanayaka is a good gentleman. He does not desire material benefits from you. It is not Gopinath who sent all those men so that you would release him from his plight. Rather, his friends and servants, seeing his distressed condition, informed you because they all knew that Gopinath is the soul surrendered unto you. Gopinath Patanayaka is a pure devotee who worships you only for your satisfaction. He does not care about his personal happiness or distress, for that is the business of a materialist. One who engages in your devotional service 24 hours a day, desiring only your mercy, will very soon attain shelter at your lotus feet. Quote, one who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee. Footnote 15. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-8. Kindly stay here at Jagannath Puri. Why should you go to Alalanath? Henceforth, no one will approach you about material affairs. Finally, Kashyamisha told the Lord, if you want to give protection to Gopinath, then Lord Jagannath, who protected him today, will also protect him in the future. Verses 80-104. Kashyamisha informs King Prataparudra of the situation. 3980-104. After saying this, Kashyamisha left the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and returned to his own temple. At noon, King Prataparudra came to Kashyamisha's home. As long as King Prataparudra stayed in Purushottama, he performed one regular duty. He would come daily to the house of Kashyamisha to massage his lotus feet. The king would also hear from him about how opulently Lord Jagannath was being served. When the king began pressing his lotus feet, Kashyamisha informed him about something through hints. My dear king, he said, please hear one uncommon item of news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalanath. When the king heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Alalanath, he was very unhappy and inquired about the reason. Then Kashyamisha informed him of all the details. When Gopinath Patanayaka was lifted onto the Changa, he said, all his servants went to inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing about this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely sorry at heart, and in anger he chastised Gopinath Patanayaka. Because he is mad after sense gratification, the Lord said, he acts as a government servant that spends the government's revenue for various sinful activities. The revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a brahmana. One who misappropriates the government's money and uses it to enjoy sense gratification is most sinful. One who serves the government but misappropriates the government's revenue is liable to be punished by the king. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. The king wanted his revenue paid and did not want to enforce punishment. Therefore, the king is certainly very religious. But Gopinath Patanayaka is a great cheat. He does not pay the revenue to the king, but he wants my help for release. This is a greatly sinful affair. I cannot tolerate it here. Therefore, I shall leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalanath, where I shall live peacefully and not hear about all these affairs of materialistic people. End quote. When King Pratibharudra heard all these details, he felt great pain in his mind. I shall give up all that is due from Gopinath Patanayaka, he said. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will stay here at Jagannath Puri, if even for a moment I could get an interview with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I would not care for the profit of millions of Chintamani stones. I do not care about this small sum of 200,000 kahanas. What to speak of this, I would indeed sacrifice everything at the lotus feet of the Lord, including my life and kingdom. Kashi Mishra hinted to the king, it is not the Lord's desire that you forfeit the payment. He is unhappy only because the whole family is troubled. The king replied, I had no desire to give pain to Gopinath Patanayaka and his family, nor did I know about his being lifted onto the Changa to be thrown on the swords and killed. He sneered at Purushottama Jana. So that must be the eldest son. Therefore, the prince tried to scare him as a punishment. Oh, he sneered at Purushottama Jana, means Gopinath Patanayaka. Go personally to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and keep him at Jagannath Puri with great attention. I shall excuse Gopinath Patanayaka from all his debts. Kashi Mishra said, excusing Gopinath Patanayaka of all his debts will make the Lord unhappy, for that is not his intention. The king said, I shall absolve Gopinath Patanayaka of all his debts. But don't speak of this to the Lord. Simply let him know that all the family members of Bhavananda Rai, including Gopinath Patanayaka, are naturally my dear friends. Bhavananda Rai is worthy of my worship and respect. Therefore, I am always naturally affectionate to his sons. After offering obeisances to Kashi Mishra, the king returned to his palace and called for both Gopinath and the eldest prince. Verses 105 to 153, Gopinath Patanayaka is pardoned and promoted. 39105-117. The king told Gopinath Patanayaka, you're excused for all the money you owe the treasury, and the place known as Mala Jatya Dandapata is again given to you for collections. Do not again misappropriate the revenue of the government. In case you think your salary insufficient, henceforth it will be doubled. After saying this, the king appointed him by offering him a silken wrapper for his body. Go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said. After taking permission from him, go to your home. I bid you farewell. Now you may go. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can certainly become spiritually advanced. Indeed, no one can estimate the results of his mercy. Gopinath Patanayaka achieved the result of kingly opulence due to but a glimpse of the Lord's mercy. Therefore, no one can calculate the full value of his mercy. Gopinath Patanayaka was lifted onto the Changa to be killed, and all his money was taken away. But instead, his debts were excused, and he was appointed collector in the same place. On one hand, Gopinath Patanayaka was unable to clear his debt even by selling all his possessions. But on the other, his salary was doubled, and he was honored with a silken wrapper. It was not the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Gopinath Patanayaka be excused of his debt to the government, nor was it his desire that his salary be doubled, or that he be reappointed collector at the same place. When Gopinath Patanayaka's servant went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and informed the Lord of his plight, the Lord was somewhat agitated and dissatisfied. The Lord had no intention of awarding his devotee the happiness of material opulence. Yet, simply because of his being informed, such a great result was obtained. No one can estimate the wonderful characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the intentions of the Lord. Kashi Mishra went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and informed him in detail of all the king's intentions. Upon hearing about Kashi Mishra's tactics with the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Kashi Mishra, what have you done? You have made me indirectly take help from the king." Srila Prabhupada, when the king heard the details of Gopinath Patanayaka's unfortunate condemnation, he was induced to excuse his debt, in particular because he felt that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very sorry about this incident. The Lord did not like the idea that the money forfeited to Gopinath Patanayaka was indirectly a contribution to him. Therefore, he immediately protested. 3.9.118-119. Kashi Mishra said, "My dear Lord, the king has done this without reservations. Kindly hear his statement." The king said, "Speak to the Lord in this way that he will not think. For my sake, the king has forfeited 200,000 kahanas of kodis." Srila Prabhupada, okay, here it is. The kodi is like an American cent or Japanese yen. In the old meaning of medium of exchange, the first unit of currency was a small conch shell called a kodi. 4 kodis made 1 ganda. 20 gandas made 1 panna. And 16 panas made 1 kahana. Gopinath Patanayaka owed the government 200,000 kahanas. The king absolved him of this debt, reappointed him to his post, and doubled his salary.
Maharaj, pana is a standard coin, generally silver or copper coin, weighing 3.3 grams.
So a lot of difference if it's copper or silver, no?
Generally here it should be silver.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then it comes out to be a little bit more. So then, even though it was there, because you can say, "Oh, but it's just a little conch shell. How can that have any value?" Same time as we're sitting there with a piece of paper, a coin made out of aluminum, or a piece of flat piece of plastic, and then saying that this has great value.
Also, these conch shells are the ones which now we use for playing.
Yeah, they're those ones. They're the ones. They're like about this big. A very nice, full color. They're not the little dinky ones. They're the ones about this big. They're brown on the top with spots, and then they go down, and it's white on the bottom, and it curls in. You know, very solid ones. They're not those little thin ones you push on, they break. You know, they're very solid. Yeah, now they use them for playing and stuff like that. You know, it's like in the future they'll probably use.
Yeah, the bigger one usually on the side. You know?
Yeah. The ones that are like this big, but the small ones like this, the ones like this big, those are used for they were the money. Okay. 4 kodis make 1 ganda. 20 gandas. 4 times 20.
80.
It's 80, yeah, so that's what it said, 160.
160
would make a... Means 80 was a pana, but it was 2 panas. Was what it was talking before about when they would invite Lord Chaitanya for lunch. 16 pandas make 1 kahana.
How is this in terms of rupees?
I'm not sure what it was.
178 grams. The first time a rupee was come, it was 178 grams of silver. That was actually the worth of a rupee. Then when they changed the coin into some other. Yeah.
But it used to be is that a paisa would be so many kodis.
Oh, okay.
So it would be that, I think even in Prabhupada's time, because I think he said one paisa would buy more vegetables than a man could carry. and from what I would understand is when you go to the market, you hire the jakawalas to carry the vegetables, and they can carry those square baskets on the head, and those and piled up, that can carry, I think, 70 to 80 kilos.
Subject.
Yeah, like you buy cauliflower, it's one of those. They can carry those. That's what they're there for, you know. And so then, so that if you want to buy smaller amounts, you'd have to use the kodis. Like that. And so then, there were 16 paisa, I think, to a rupee.
Yeah. 16, that is anas, Maharaj. That is called, now the paisa is like 100 paisas make a rupee.
Yeah, but before it was that's why they called Naya Paisa, because it's 100, but before it was 16. Therefore it was Bhadavana, Adana, Charana, you know, it's, you know, 75 paisa now. Because even when I came to India, is that the old taxiwalas and older guys, that from the old paisa, if it was, something was 50 paisa, they would say Adana, they wouldn't say 50 paisa.
You know,
Chelo
used to call it.
Yeah, also, yeah. So it wasn't so long back that it was. 70s, 80s, you'd hear that very easily. Maybe, you know, even more. But
also from silver, the coin became aluminum by the time, my
Chelo. Yeah. But also silver wasn't so expensive.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was 600 rupees a kilo back in the 70s. Yeah. I think it was 600 a kilo. Then it went up to 900. Yeah, but it was when I came to India, it was 600 a kilo. You know, that's why everything was made out of silver and, you know, stuff like that, because it was. So then, you know, if you go back in time, it would be even more easily available. Gold would be the more major thing. Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.